This episode of IREM Today is brought to you by ServPro. Whether you need emergency flood damage restoration or top-to-bottom home cleaning, you can trust ServPro to make your house feel like home again. Visit them online at servpro.com.
Bible. The following paid program is furnished by the Institute of Real Estate Management, Rhode Island, Chapter 88. It is for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. Now on AM 790, it's time for IREM Today, the property management show with hosts Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian. Join them now for this live call-in show to discuss property management issues and hear from guests from all trades and programs discussing your real estate needs. Here's your hosts, Dina and Chrissy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to IREM Today, the property management show here on AM 790. Today is September 19th, 2017. I'm Chrissy Denalian in the studio today with my substitute co-host, Jay Martins.
Wow, it's like old hat times, right?
Yeah, old times.
Like, you know, riding a bike.
Unfortunately, Dina couldn't make it today. She's at a trade show, I think,
for her.
In Massachusetts. So.
Terrific.
But in case you are tuning in for the first time, IREM Today is your live local radio show here every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Now, Jason, we know that there's a lot of these local...
A lot of these
great syndicated shows.
Great programs. But we're not syndicated. We're not one of those.
Oh, okay.
We're great. We're just not syndicated. We're live in studio.
So what does that mean?
We're here. We're sitting here as you're listening to us.
Yes. And people could
call in if you want to.
If they have questions or
what are the phone
anything?
Numbers? 437-5000?
You're just an old hat at this.
1-888-345-0790.
See, look at that.
How about that?
You can take you out of the radio station, but you know everything. Nope, you can't. So we are live in the studio every Tuesday talking about all things property management. And in case you were tuning in for the first time and you were wondering, what is IREM? What does that stand for?
It stands for the Institute of Real Estate Management.
And we are the most professional group in the country. Well, we like to say worldwide now.
It is a global. It's a global organization.
Yes.
Yeah.
For managing real estate. So locally, we are the Greater Rhode Island Chapter 88. And another thing you might be wondering is, what does IREM do? We are the source of education and professional recognition for managers of all types of properties. So whether you manage an elderly housing building or a single family home or a tenement building, the Institute of Real Estate Management is for you. Also, people that are looking for a career in property management, or if they're looking for something different and they want to have some kind of training or some kind of education or even a designation, so that way they can be recognized as a professional property manager. We actually have two designations here at IREM. The first is an ARM, which is...
That's Accredited Residential Manager.
Not just an arm.
Not just an arm.
It's an accredited residential manager, and I am actually an ARM, and Jason is as well.
Yep.
And then we have the distinguished, which I am not distinguished, but
you are
distinguished.
That's
and
right.
We have the distinguished CPM.
The CPM stands for Certified Property Manager.
Yes. And, I mean, as Jack Benz likes to say, he says that that's pretty much like a degree from Harvard.
Yeah, that's it. In property management world, it pretty much is. That's right.
Yep.
So you'll get yours. Don't worry about
it. Someday I will. I know I actually have a couple of PASERN people that are going tomorrow to Massachusetts to get their ARM. They are starting the classes tomorrow at Massachusetts Braintree, I think.
That's very good. They could have taken it here in Rhode Island, but that's okay.
Uh-oh. I don't know. I think that there's not another class till next year, I think.
Good for them. Good. I'm glad they're taking the class.
So if somebody walks into your place of business and says that they're a CPM, and somebody walks in and says that they're just looking for a property manager job, which do you think that you would go
for? Sure. You want to go with the person who's got the education and the training and the ongoing education, by the way. That separates someone from just a, average guy.
Joe Schmo
is just trying to be a property manager. Now, look, I know plenty of good property managers out there who don't have the designations, and they're really good property managers. Don't get me wrong. But, this sets you apart. This sets you apart from everyone else, having those designations.
Okay, great. So if people are interested in getting the CPM or ARM designation, we do actually offer a scholarship for people to sign up for, and it would cover about 75% of the class. And if you were interested in that, you could go to our website, iremri.org, and just fill out the application. There's some brief things that they need as far as a resume, a letter of recommendation. But, covering the 75% of the course, is significant. I mean, I know that.
Huge.
I wish I knew about this when I did my ARM.
Huge. I mean, that's a big chunk of change right there.
Yeah.
To help pay off. You know, I want to get my designation, but, you know, there's obviously a cost involved. But the scholarship, you know, takes away a huge chunk of that cost. So it makes it very affordable.
Yes. And we always like to mention that, as well as having Karen's in the studio today, there is Karen Cuddle, our association executive, and she basically handles everything from events to kind of anything. If you have any questions about IRAM or you're interested, you can certainly email her or give her a call. But mm-hmm. we always like to give Karen's phone number, which is 401-479-7734. So you can give her a call if you have any questions about the designations or about any kind of events that we'll be talking about later in the show.
Oh, great events. And look, it's a great group of people. Everyone who's involved with IRAM and the Institute of Real Estate Management, great group of people, great networking opportunities and this and that. So it's terrific. Terrific group.
So we do have, like I mentioned before, we have two Karens in the studio. We have Karen Santilli, who is CEO and president of Crossroads. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
You can adjust that. Yeah. Well, there you go. Make yourself at home. Do it.
Make yourself at home. Yeah. And we have Karen Roy here. Oh, sorry. Karen Roy, who is the team leader and housing navigator for Crossroads as well. So welcome.
Noon.
How are you?
I'm well.
Good.
Glad to be here.
But let's adjust that mic just a little bit. Get it pointing right at you. There you go. Now we're in good shape.
Now I'm glad to be with you.
So we're going to talk a little bit about Crossroads and all that it has to offer. So could you, I know we had talked a little before the show about the program that we want to talk about today. So could you just give us a little intro on the program that you offer?
Sure. So Crossroads is the largest provider of services to homeless individuals and families in Rhode Island. Our ultimate goal is to end homelessness for individuals and families, and there's only one way to do that, and that's to help them find housing. So a big challenge in Rhode Island is the availability of housing. And so 6 years ago, we started a program sort of on pilot where we hired a former real estate person to be on staff, which some might say, why would a social service agency do that? But our case managers are working with the individuals and families who are homeless. We don't want them spending their time going out finding apartments and units for our folks to move into. And so Karen Roy started 6 years ago, and her job, her primary responsibility is to connect with landlords and find units that we can move our clients, our individuals and families into to end their homelessness.
That sounds like a wonderful program. So, Karen Roy, how did you get started into Crossroads?
I was originally a manager at a Coldwell Banker office, and one of the vice presidents for that agency happened to be on the board of Crossroads, and said that they had an opening, and would I be interested in taking on the position part time until they knew the end of their funding, which was only going to be a couple months. And then that funding got renewed, and they said, would you be interested in doing this full-time as an employee? So as an independent contractor and working nights and weekends and open houses as a realtor for almost 30 years, it was a welcome change.
You jumped right on it.
I did jump right on that bandwagon.
Yes.
And my commute is 10 minutes. I work Monday through Friday, but there's so much work and good things being done in that
helping
time.
A lot of people
in that Monday through Friday time frame is when I thought I wouldn't be able to connect with a lot of landlords during that time, because I thought they're only going to be around on the weekends and all that. Then I found out that there's a large number of owners out there who do it for a business, and they have hundreds of units. So those are the ones that I really wanted to connect with, because I wanted them to contact me when they had vacancies, so that I could fill them as soon as they were ready. As soon as they could turn them over, I could fill the units for them. And that is working for some of our landlords. I just need to find more of them.
So tell me a little bit more about this program. So it's not a housing assistance payment, right? It's different than what a lot of landlords who are familiar with Section 8 and different, you know, subsidized programs know that the local housing agency will pay a portion of the tenant's rent, called a housing assistance payment. But that's not what you're doing. That's not what Crossroads is offering. It's something a little bit different.
It is a little different. It is not a permanent subsidy. There is a short term, and it's for rapid rehousing so that we can get people into apartments quickly. We're in a housing first model at Crossroads, where find the housing first and work on everything else to help that all come into play, meaning the employment, job opportunities, how to even write a resume, all that gets put together, case management, but it all has to start with finding an apartment. They have to have a home. It's much easier to find a job when you know where you live. Where do I have to get the bus from? Where do I have to commute from? All of that comes into play, but without the housing piece of it, it doesn't. So it's not a permanent subsidy in the fact that Section 8, as most people refer to it, it is a rental assistance program. It's the rental assistance portion of it can be up to 24 months, but it's coupled with case management that can last longer than the 24 months.
Are they required
months.
To be in the case management while they're getting the assistance?
They are
the
required
assistance?
To be in case management, and when they first move in, it may be several times a week the case manager will come and visit, because that's the most stressful time, getting back into an apartment, and that's when they need the assistance and guidance the most. Our goal, our primary goal, as Karen Santilli said, is to help people obtain housing and maintain that housing. We don't want them to lose it and they become homeless again and it becomes a terrible cycle. So our goal is to do everything we can to get them in that housing. We'll assist with the rent. We'll assist with the...
Now, when you say assist, right, you know, when I'm thinking about traditional Section 8 housing, the tenant pays a portion, and if they have no income, they still pay $25 a month. Is there a minimum for your clients? Or
way to put them on the spot.
Yeah, it's a good question.
As a landlord, I'd like to know where my rent is coming from.
It's a very good question. And the answer is we're looking to find the people who have the ability in this program. There's other funding sources that help different people who do not have income, have no means of getting income. But this is usually a group, this rapid rehousing group is usually a group that can get income, can get employment, may have monthly income that comes to them. So that income we support, or if they have no income in the beginning, as we said, we're helping them find the employment. So we will, Crossroads will pay, using this rental assistance money, their full rent. Our goal is not to pay it for the full 2 years. Obviously, we're trying to make them self-sustainable towards the end of it. But
did you go off the 30%?
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt. We're going to definitely...
I'm fascinated
by this conversation. I know. He just wants to know more and more. As a property manager and property owner, you just want to know all the knowledge. But we're going to have more with the Karens and Jay after this. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to IREM Today, the Property Management Show.
Now back to IREM Today, the Property Management Show, with your hosts, Dina Semirelli and Chrissy Denalian, on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right, 421 here on IREM Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my co-host, Jay Martins, and we're live here in the studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. So before we left, we were talking with the Karens. From Crossroads. That's what I'm going to refer to you as. So a little bit about Karen Santilli I didn't get a chance to get into. Karen Santilli is the president and CEO of Crossroads Rhode Island, and she joined in February 2008. And until June 1st, 2015, she served as the chief marketing and strategy officer. The mission of the Crossroads Rhode Island is to help homeless or at-risk individuals and families secure stable homes. In 2013, she led the organization through a strategic change process to implement a new service delivery model focused on rapid rehousing and housing first. Crossroads is a leading organization solving homelessness by practicing evidence-based methods to secure stable homes for individuals and families. Prior to joining Crossroads, Karen enjoyed a 20-plus year career at Plan USA, where she served as a team managing director of sponsorship and managed a budget of $1 million to raise and retain $24 million in revenue. She led a team of 40 individuals involved in a sponsor donor engagement and development. She left Plan to shift her skills from helping the children and families in developing countries around the world to helping our very own neighborhood impacted by homelessness. Karen believes that ending homelessness in Rhode Island is achievable and will work tirelessly towards that end until every individual and family experiencing homelessness has a place to call home. Karen was Providence Business News 2015 Women in Business Industry Leader and a nonprofit and in nonprofit services. She was named the 2011 Fundraising Professional of the Year by the Association of Fundraising Professionals Rhode Island Chapter. She is a Zeta II graduate of Leadership Rhode Island and received Rhode Island College 2003 Alumni Honor Roll Award for Marketing. She holds a Bachelor of Science Marketing and a Master of Art in Teaching from Rhode Island College. She serves on the board and is treasurer of the Rhode Island Public Transit Authority. She serves on the board of directors for Sophia Academy and is incorporator of the Providence Foundation. Wow, this is like very impressive.
The whole thing.
Jeez.
I would have eliminated a lot of it.
So, Karen Losing-Cranston, and you have three children as well.
I do.
So.
Yes.
This is quite impressive. I mean, we should have had a bigger studio for you.
Oh, stop.
Right? I think so.
If I knew you were going to, I would have shortened it.
No, it's great. It's wonderful. And then also we have Karen Roy in the studio, who is a licensed real estate salesperson broker for 30 years, licensed since 1987, currently affiliated with a referral program at Caldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. You began working at Crossroads as an independent contractor, which we talked about, in 2011, and became full-time employee in 2012 when federal and state grants were awarded at Crossroads. At that time, you were the sole housing navigator for Crossroads, and then since then, the new department has been developed, and there are a total of five navigators currently developing landlord relationships throughout the state, and you are team leader of that newly created department. So I think that about covers.
Yeah,
I mean, this
stuff.
Is the biggest studio that we have,
they
right?
You know what they're doing.
I know, the Karens.
That's it. That's why.
You need housing.
The law firm of Karen and Karen.
I know, I guess so.
The housing
law firm.
The housing firm.
Yes.
So we're talking about, as again, from a landlord's perspective, you know, just looking at, you know, the, so Crossroads provides the assistance payment. I don't know if you don't call it an assistance payment, though, right?
I do call it an assistance payment, not a subsidy.
It's not a subsidy. It's an assistance payment. So as a landlord, is that, it sounds like one thing that landlords like about subsidies, for example, from housing agencies, is that it's almost guaranteed money. You know, every month the check is in your account, or the check is on the mail, whatever. It sounds like this is the same kind of thing, because it's coming from Crossroads for the most part. So a landlord can feel secure to know that their check is on the way.
At least a portion of it will be coming from Crossroads. From that point, there are stipulations for a client to receive that rental assistance. They have to participate in the case management. So for a landlord, that's a plus. It's eyes on his unit. It's home-based case management. So case managers are coming into the home. They're looking at the house. How is it being maintained? Are there damages? Are there problems? Are they taking out the trash? All of those situations. Mm-hmm. But it's also a contact person for the landlord to call if he's struggling with the client's portion of the rent, with any other situation that arises. He has another person to help solve a situation versus being just left on his own to deal with the tenant.
Well, kind of being an advocate for property
exactly.
as well.
Well, you're needing an advocate. But, you know, Karen, thinking about this, you know, a homeless person, I mean, they're not, a lot of times the perception is that it's really not the kind of tenant landlord looking for, someone who's homeless, because maybe it has a stigma or whatever.
So
it
the
might
stereotype,
be. Stereotype huh?
is part of one of our bigger challenges. The reality is the majority of households, the families and individuals that come to us for assistance that are homeless, it's the first time they've ever been homeless. And they need a little bit of help and a little bit of assistance and short-term assistance. They don't need a permanent subsidy. And so this program is perfect for that group of people. It's not right for all of the people we serve, but for this particular group, many of them are employed or are easy to become employed again. Sometimes they just don't have enough of first and last month's rent and ended up in our shelter. The fact that they receive their supportive services while they have a stable place to call home, evidence and our experience has shown that they're going to be far more successful in their job search, because they're sleeping in their own bed. If they have physical or mental health issues, they're more likely to keep their doctor's appointments and stay on their meds because they have a place to call home. So when the other Karen first started this program with the landlords, it was hard because there was that stigma. And then over time, over the 6 years, we've gone from working with zero landlords where people say, I don't want the quote unquote the homeless in my neighborhood. She's now working with over 100 landlords. We have 200 right now at this point in time. Well, since January of this year, 200 households in this rental assistance program across the state.
That's quite a bit. That's quite a bit from January. Are there is there any way for other landlords to reach out to you if they were interested
in
the program?
They can call me directly. My direct line is 401-278-9703. They can email me at kroy@crossroadsri.org. They could call the main number at Crossroads, 521-2255, and ask for Karen Roy. There's only two Karens in the whole building, so they're either
and we got both of them here.
Karen Center,
either way, they'll
Karen
get a call
Roy.
Back.
So,
how does it work with background checks? Is a landlord still go through their normal procedure and their normal due diligence when it comes to background and credit screening, or do you guys help with that?
So if a landlord wants to do a background check, I'm basically going to tell them if a person had good credit, they wouldn't probably be staying in a shelter. So most of our clients won't pass a credit check. Some of them have questionable activities in their background. Some don't. So they can put the stipulation on there. I don't want anybody who's drug involved in the past. I don't want anybody who has any assault charges in the past. They can put those stipulations. I've got a whole wealth of people that I can, a well of people I can look through to find. But it's almost a leap of faith for the first time. But to now say that 6 years in, I've worked with and am working with over 100 landlords. It's worked for most because some of them don't even have to show the unit, don't show up. Some of them just give us the master key because they've got that many units. Some of them are just...
They don't even show the unit? You go and you show the unit
absolutely.
Yourself?
Absolutely.
Wow. Zero work done for the landlord, I guess.
Now, just kind of thinking this through here. So if you bring a tenant in, and as a landlord, I accept that tenant, and it goes very well, that person then decides it does well for themselves. You guys get them on their feet. They move on to another apartment, whatever it is. I just go right back to you. You bring somebody else in.
That unit is filled.
I don't have to put an ad in the paper like you used to do back in the day. I don't have to put a sign out in front. I don't have to go on Craigslist.
Nope.
I don't have to do any of that stuff.
Call
Karen.
And then my next friend's coming right in.
I have unit 2 rear going to be available October 1st. Do you have somebody? And I ask, is it vacant? Can I show it? There are some things that a landlord needs to do.
Yeah.
Has to have a lead certificate. Has to have a current valid lead certificate. That's state law.
Sure.
But there's plenty of landlords that don't want to do it, and will Crossroads pay for it? No, we can't. Okay? That's a state law. Our main goal is safety and following the law.
Great. So
it's like an automatic tenant.
I know.
Almost.
You don't have to do anything on your end.
That's interesting.
So I think that we're going to talk a little more about the program right after this. Right now it is 4:31. We'll be right back after this.
Now back to IREM Today, the property management show with your hosts, Dina Semirelli and Chrissy Denalian on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
Okay, it is 4:35 here on IREM Today, the property management show, and we're here with the Karens from Crossroads. So we were talking, we like to talk during the break, even about the show, even during the show, but are there any stipulations with this housing assistance?
So right before the break, I was talking a little bit about the safety and the inspections and the lead certificates. There are requirements for a landlord to do that pretty much follow state law. So a unit would have to have the current lead certificate in place, and it would have to be, if it requires fire coating their building, it needs to be fire coated. It has to have smoke and carbon monoxide detectors. A unit has to have two ways out, two means of exits.
Pretty standard stuff, right?
You're not asking for the
right.
World.
Nope. Right.
It also has to be a legal unit. So I run into that a lot, where somebody has finished a basement unit and everything's included. It's going to be so affordable for your folks, and it really is, but it's also not a legal unit. So I cannot use government-funded money to put people in an illegal unit.
Right.
But there is a restriction as well as far as the rental assistance and the rental amount that can be put on the lease. I also wanted to mention that the lease is held in the tenant's and our client's name directly with the landlord. Crossroads isn't signing that lease. We don't guarantee the lease. It's not a Providence Housing lease. It is a private lease. Most times it's the landlord's own lease that he likes to use. It has to be reviewed, make sure it follows Rhode Island law. And then that is their lease, and it has to be a one-year lease. Doesn't mean that the client will always stay there 1 year. If it's not a good fit for either party and we're looking to get out, we do have to follow state law, so I can't make somebody leave. But if we're going to tell them that there's going to be an eviction and we try to avoid that for both sides, we can.
And having those case managers involved, I think, really help the whole process for both sides.
If it's not a good fit, it's not going to be working for the client and it's not working for the landlord. We're trying to work that out, so we're teaching them good tenancy skills and how to be a good neighbor, how to pay your rent on time. What do you do if you need something fixed? Who do you contact? Don't call Crossroads. Learn how to contact the landlord first.
This program isn't for all of our clients, but we have very specific methodology and assessment tools that we use right up front to determine whether or not a person or a family household is right for this program. So we don't want to put someone in this program that's going to fail. We want them to be successful. And so we have tools that we use to determine, is this the right program or is a different program right for them? Because, I mean, we've been very successful. This program has continued to grow in terms of the rental assistance we've been awarded, as well as the number of landlords that are participating in it. So it works for the right clients and the right landlords.
Now, traditional Section 8 housing has a rent limit or cap of what they're willing to pay. Is this program similar? Do you pay whatever the landlord's charging?
No. Usually the Section 8 that you refer to, it follows what's called rent reasonableness and what's the reasonable rent in the neighborhoods. This rental assistance program is governed, the rental amount that can be paid is governed by HUD. Federal government puts those stipulations on it, and they put out new numbers every year. So the current numbers range from studios all the way to 4 to 5 beds, but they break it down into territories as well. The bulk of all of the properties that I deal with fall into the Providence range, but they also break down different numbers for Westerly and then different numbers for Newport or Middletown and Portsmouth. So, but for the Providence range, if you had a 1-bed unit and you didn't include utilities, that rent would be $719 that we could assist with, that total amount.
For 1 bedroom. Okay.
For 1 bed. If you include utilities, it's $827. But for most units or landlords have multifamily homes, 2 and 3 beds. For 2-bed without anything included, we're renting out at $850. For a 3-bed with nothing included, it's $1,066.
And that's in the Providence, Pawtucket.
Providence, Pawtucket, Woonsocket, Warwick, West Warwick, Cranston, all of those areas, and they all have to follow that same limit. Unless rent reasonableness is lower in that area than these numbers, but most times that doesn't happen. Right. Because so the vacancy areas, rent and the rates in Rhode Island.
So in areas like Newport.
Newport, those are going to be much higher numbers. For example, what would be for a 3-bed in Providence is $1,066. In Newport, it's $1,600.
Wow. Oh, my
gosh. That's a big difference.
I'm in the
wrong
city.
But everything's costing you more money.
Right. So, it is. Yeah. And I mean, just the cost of living.
But there's a very large homeless population down in Westerly. Yeah. But that's a tricky situation as well because they don't have public transportation down in Westerly. Mm. So people ride a bicycle. I was amazed when I went down there weekly. People ride a bicycle 12 months of the year through rain, snow, sleet. They're like the mailman. They get around for everything. But that's their mode of transportation, which is very different here. And we have to think about that, too, when we're housing people. How do they get to work? Are they taking the bus? Do they have to take a transfer? Do they have to get to Kennedy Plaza? If I'm housing them in Woonsocket, do they have to come to Kennedy Plaza to get a transfer to then get to their job? Can they do all of that in the right time frame? Do they have to get the kids to daycare? Right. And where is the daycare? So all of that has to be planned out. And that's where the case managers come in. So it helps to be able to know to get a job when you know where you live, because you know what buses you need to get. Otherwise, if you just put the kids in one daycare, because that's where, outside of shelter, and then you're going to move, we have to disrupt all of that. So there's a lot that goes on. But again, we're looking to maintain the housing all through this.
So do the clients come to you and say, I'd rather stay in this area, or it'd be best for me
to
stay in this area?
Yes, we do give them choice.
Okay.
Clients always
curious.
Have choice.
I was just curious,
right,
if you were
it
like,
makes sense.
This would be best for
so
you.
So some, I had just recently a family who, she works right over the line in Bellingham. So she was holding out for Woonsocket. She said, I really would like a Woonsocket one. And I had a unit in Providence, and she said, But the Woonsocket unit was going to be ready towards the end of this month. And she said, I really want to wait. And I'm happy to say that she signed her lease today. That's in
Woonsocket. Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. Wow. And I know that we were talking also through the break that maybe their housing would be covered 100% maybe for that first month, or, you know, maybe we would wean. So why don't you explain a little bit about that?
So our case managers use this tool that we use to assess what program is best for them. We use that tool for case management throughout our connection with the individual or family. And over a period of time, they're meeting with them in their homes. They're doing the assessments. Ideally, their scores will be getting lower over time, showing they have less need for our supportive services. So the case manager knows that at the furthest point out, we can only provide rental assistance for 24 months. It would be great if we could get people off the rental assistance sooner, but we want to make sure that they're ready so that they don't end up homeless again. So over that course of time, both the case manager, we also have employment assistance. So the employee, the housing-based employment specialists are going out, working with them on if they need employment supports, what's the best kind of job for them, helping them find the job, so that the first month we may pay 100% of the rent. And then by month three, we may be paying 80% of the rent, and the other 20% is coming from the client and the resident. Right. So by the end of the two-year period, we know that they're able to sustain the entire rent by themselves without problem.
And that sounds like a wonderful program. I mean, really just trying to get people on their feet, trying to get them, you know, right back into the swing of things with their jobs and careers and housing. What would you say, like, around the success rate would be with this program?
We know that for this particular program, after we've housed them, around 90% stay housed. I mean, we have other programs with folks that have a lot more complex needs that may be a little bit lower, but for this particular program, we know it's 90%.
That's a very high success rate. I mean, if you think about just multifamily housing,
I had a 55% turnover rate
right
in one of my buildings.
So. Right, turnover rate. I mean, 90% success rate. That's wonderful. I mean, you can't say anything better.
I think, again, it goes back to the changing demographic of who is experiencing homelessness. And we're seeing a lot of the people who are working poor. They're working. They're just living at a level where their rent takes up such a high percentage of their income. And you know, they have one thing happens, whether it's a health issue or divorce or they lose their overtime or they lose their second job and suddenly they can't afford their rent and it just spirals and they end up homeless. So they need just a little bit of support. They don't need that permanent subsidy for the rest of their lives.
Do you help people who need it to get on waiting lists for traditional subsidized housing?
Yes. Oftentimes, someone for our other program where we do housing first, sometimes this will be the supports that they need to be housed while their permanent subsidy comes in.
I come across a lot of tenants who apply for subsidized housing, and they'll say, I need emergency housing. I need to get in right now. I'm going to be homeless. And that's not the way it works. I mean, there's a wait list.
Well, there's a wait. And the wait is depending on what city or town that they're requesting, the wait could be many
significant
years.
Significant,
yeah. And depending on the size of the unit that you need.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to be housed in between that.
Right.
So
this gives them that opportunity.
This may be for a good number of those people. And do you need to go?
Now, would you mind staying for a little bit? Is that okay if you stay for a little longer? Is that okay? All right, so we'll be right back right after this. You're listening to IREM Today, the Property Management Show.
Now back to IREM Today, the Property Management Show with your hosts, Dina Semirelli and Chrissy Denalian on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right, it is 4:48 here on IREM Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my guest co-host Jay Martins here in the studio, and we are live in the studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. So we have the Karens from Crossroads. That's what their new name is, the Karens. And I know that we were getting into a little more about housing plans and everything about the program. Where did we leave off here? We talked too much during the break.
Let me just ask you on the air is, you know, where does the money come from for this? Because it's not a Section 8 program, so it's something different. So where is the money coming from?
The funds come mm-hmm. from both state and federal, so through HUD. And the very first round of funding was part of when President Obama put out the
stimulus,
the stimulus package, and the mm-hmm. I'm not saying the right name, but was it reinvest? Whatever. Yeah. It was six years ago, and it was had a very long acronym around housing and
homeless prevention and rapid rehousing. And the initial funding was in 2009.
Yes,
and no one in the country knew how to do it. They had to figure out how, what does this mean? What do we do with this home-based case management? And people were really, at that point, had to be housing ready. You had to have a job. You had to have this. But you just needed, that was very short term. That didn't go this long.
But it's, we've learned from it as a system, homeless care providers. We got a piece of that funding, and with our piece, we did very well with it in Rhode Island. So we've been able to increase what has come from both the federal government and the state government.
I was saying off air, and I'll tell you on air, to be quite honest with you, it's the first time I've really heard about or learned about the program, but it almost sounds more appealing to me than traditional Section 8. The tenants who are coming in need similar assistance, similar to what people on Section 8 do. But in this case, you're providing additional service where they have case managers.
There's more support for the client and the landlord.
For the most part, people who get into Section 8, unless they're with some outside agency, they just get in and there's no support for them. It's basically, hey, here you go. We're assisting you. You know, hopefully you do well. Whereas in this case, you're actually there are people working with them to make sure that they can get back on their feet.
Yes, and I'm not trying to badmouth Section 8 or anything.
No, I'm not either. I'm just comparing the two.
Some of our clients will end up going to that subsidized unit.
Because it's more permanent.
And because it's more affordable for them. But there's still a very large number that will make it work on their own.
But it's the day-to-day case management that they get in the beginning that I think can be beneficial to them.
That's key. So the key pieces for us in our success is having the affordable units available and having the funding to provide the case management support. That's what makes it work. So the housing first model, the housing first philosophy is housing is a right. Everybody is eligible and able to be housed. You don't have to prove yourself worthy to have a home. But at the same time, we can't just put someone who's been homeless for 5, 6, 7 years or had multiple episodes of homelessness or been in a shelter for the last 6 months, drop them in an apartment and walk away. We know that we want to help them create new community in their new apartment to be successful in managing their finances. All of the households that go through this program receive financial literacy training so that when they start to earn their own income again, they know how to manage their income and pay rent first and utilities and what's really important. So they're learning financial literacy.
I wish we had that for some just regular tenants in some of our housing, honestly.
Class. Some people are afraid to take my budgeting class.
No, honestly, it would be beneficial for any tenants, honestly.
My main preach in that is, throughout the class, is the first two things you pay are your housing and your utilities.
Right.
No matter what.
Right.
That's it.
Before your car repair.
That's it.
Right. Well before your cell phone bill.
Oh, no, my son needs my help. I got to take care of this thing. I can't pay the rent this month. It doesn't really work that
way.
Right,
no. Their housing
is
the number one.
Bills, housing and utilities are the first two things you pay.
Yep.
All right, so we've been chatting for almost an hour. It's really fascinating, but I don't want you to leave here without thinking that you forgot to mention something. So is there what would you like to leave for our listeners here?
That the rental assistance program works for a good number of landlords. It'll work for the landlord that has several hundred units. It'll also work for the landlord who has one multifamily, even if he's an owner-occupied building. It works the same for everybody. And the goal of it for me is to get landlords to call me when they have their vacancies because they took that leap of faith. It worked out. And they decided, this is going to be a good program for me. This is going to be easier all the way around. Why wouldn't I do it?
And once again, how can people get in touch with you?
So they can call me direct at 278-9703. They can call Crossroads direct, 521-2255. They should ask for Karen Roy in that case, ROY. They'll get quicker access to housing information rather than Karen Santilli, the president. So again, my last name is Roy, ROY. They can email me at kroy@crossroadsri.org.
Wonderful.
I thank you for this opportunity. Yeah, we'd like to
thank
you.
Thank you for helping us get the word out.
Yeah, no, we really appreciate you coming on. And I'm sure our listeners, who are many are landlords or owners of properties, well, I'm sure you'll be hearing from many of them, and I'm sure that they appreciate you coming on today, too.
And if someone's listening now live and you missed the beginning part of the show where we, you know, kind of broke into the program, go ahead, go onto our website and log in and listen to the podcast. It'll be on tomorrow. And again, you can get that contact information back through the podcast as well. So I encourage, if someone just joined in, a lot of people get out of work at 4:30, whatever it is. If you just joined the program and you missed some of it, and you're interested in what Crossroads is offering, I would encourage you to go tomorrow, go onto our website. It's iremri.org, iremri.org. Or you can subscribe on iTunes, too.
Yes, you can subscribe
today,
on iTunes.
And go back and listen to the whole podcast. And I think it's for landlords who, because we used to get calls. Landlords would ask, well, how do I find a good tenant? I have trouble finding people and this and that. Well, this might be a good solution for them. So I encourage anyone to, if you missed part of the show, go back and listen to the podcast starting tomorrow. I think it's terrific.
Yeah, on the podcast or in the iremri.org website. Yep. It will be on tonight anyway, so you can just go right on and log in and listen to the podcast. And before we end for the show, we always like to talk about a couple of events that are coming on for IREM.
Yeah.
So we do have the New England Conference and Trade Show, which is actually coming up.
Well, we didn't get to say goodbye yet, lady. You don't have to, you don't have to run out on us just now.
I'm sneaking out.
Are you leaving? You're sneaking out?
I'm sneaking out. Right. Karen Roy, she's really the one with all the information. Okay. Anyway, so
thank you so much.
All right, Karen, thank you. Karen Santilli, right? The president and CEO.
I know, big shot.
That's wow. You had a big time.
We got big time
here. Nice job, Chrissy.
So the next event that we have coming up is the New England Conference and Trade Show, and that's actually over at the Mystic Marriott Hotel and Spa in Groton, Connecticut.
In Connecticut, yeah, great. Yeah.
And that is September 28th. I know that we went to the first annual one last year, and they are repeating that this year. There's a bunch of different conferences that they have, and
some terrific speakers and different sessions and vendors you can go to. It's a really terrific, great networking opportunity.
Yeah, we did Facebook Live last year.
Right. We did do that.
So that is the big event that's going on September 28th. Mm-hmm. I know that in the future we also have our scholarship we talked about earlier in the show, our scholarship fundraising wine night that we have. So that's coming up probably in November.
It's coming up November 8th. That's coming up. Yeah.
And in December will be another our annual
installation dinner, we call it, where the officers for the next year get installed. And yours truly will
be reinstalled
as a treasurer. Yes, I will be.
He's Mr. Financial Pants
all over the place over there, right?
You're on the radio, treasurer, everything. So I wanted to thank the Karens again, one left. But thank you, Karen Roy, for all of your information. And we really appreciate you coming on today. And hopefully you'll get a lot of phone calls.
But I really thank you again for the opportunity. And if anybody has any questions, please reach out directly, and I'd be happy to answer specific questions.
Okay, and the phone numbers again while we're still on.
278-9703 is my direct line. The main number at Crossroads is 521-2255, and just ask for Karen Roy.
And if you've missed any part of the program, you can subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for IREM Today, or you can listen to the podcast on our website, iremri.org. I guess I will do it for today. I wanted to thank Jason Martins for filling in for Tina. I really appreciate you coming in again today.
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, it's nice to be back. It's kind of like I said, just kind of walking in again, and like I've always done over how many years. So it was fun. It was fun to come back and get behind the mic here. But you guys doing a great job, and the show's doing well, right?
Yes.
All
right. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
This episode of IREM Today is brought to you by ServPro. Whether you need emergency flood damage restoration or top-to-bottom home cleaning, you can trust ServPro to make your house feel like home again. Visit them online at servpro.com.